have your Bibles this morning, please open them to Psalm number 101. We're going to be reading verses 1 through 8. Psalms 101, 1 through 8. I'll give everyone a moment to find that. I'll be reading from the King James Version. The Pew Bibles are the ESV, and whatever version you have, I'm sure they'll be similar in nature. Psalms 101. I will sing of mercy and judgment unto thee, O Lord, will I sing. I will behave myself wisely in a perfect way. O, when wilt thou come unto me? I will walk within my house with a perfect heart. I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. I hate the work of them that turn aside. It shall not cleave to me. A froward heart shall depart from me. I will not know a wicked person. Whoso privily slandereth his neighbor, him will I cut off. Him that hath an high look and a proud heart will not I suffer. Mine eyes shall be upon the faithful of the land, that they may dwell with me. He that walketh in a perfect way, he shall serve me. He that worketh deceit shall not dwell within my house. He that telleth lies shall not tarry in my sight. I will early destroy all the wicked of the land, that I may cut off all the wicked doers from the city of the Lord. Father, as we come this morning, we invite your Holy Spirit just to move in our midst in a very wonderful and special way. Father, open our hearts, open our minds, open our ears to begin to grasp your word and understand your word. Help us, Father, to see and understand loyalty, Lord, from your perspective. Help us to begin to understand and see what it means to be loyal as a Christian. And Father, change us from the inside out. Lord, start that seed growing within us that it may blossom and grow and bring forth much fruit to bring glory to you. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. If you were to go to the dictionary and look up the word loyalty, you might find there faithfulness. You might find there allegiance. You might find there commitment. All of these things are terms that could be used interchangeably for the word loyalty. If you go to a thesaurus and look up the word loyalty, these other terms will come up. And they bring to us a clearer understanding of what it is to be loyal. As most of us were growing up, how many of you grew up? No, well, there's some of us that are still kids, third and fourth time around. But as we were growing up, we learned the Pledge of Allegiance to the American flag. You know, it says, I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible with liberty and justice for all. Basically, that is a loyalty oath. A loyalty oath that you are making to this nation. You're standing and you're saying, I pledge my loyalty. I pledge my allegiance. I pledge my faithfulness. I pledge my commitment to this great nation that God has had his hand upon, that God has blessed over and over and over again. Sometimes, even as Christians, we lose sight of the fact that God has had his hand on this nation that we live in. But as we stand and we recite that pledge, it should quicken to our hearts and quicken to our memory that this is a great nation that we live in. And in Sunday school, many of us learned the pledge to the Christian flag. We have the flag of the United States here, and we have the Christian flag here. And many of us learned that pledge as well. And it says, I pledge allegiance to the Christian flag and to the Savior for whose kingdom it stands. One body, uniting all true Christians in service and in love. Folks, as we recite that pledge to the Christian flag, we are proclaiming our loyalty, our allegiance, our faithfulness, our commitment to the Savior who died for each one of us, to the Savior who holds us together as a body of believers. How we as believers, you and I, how we need to understand loyalty from the perspective of an oath to be faithful. As an oath to be faithful. As a commitment to be faithful. As saying, yes, Lord, whatever you say, I stand behind you. I stand behind your word. I will be true. I will be faithful. I will be loyal. I'll be allegiant. I will be committed. Oh, sad to say that in so much of Christendom today, people will say, I'll be faithful. But let's draw a line here. Commitment might be asking a little too much. Folks, when you take that stand to live for Jesus, you've got to put it all on the line. I will be committed. This morning, there's three areas of loyalty that I want us to look at. I want us to look at them, and I want us to consider that they are part and must make up a part of our daily walk with Christ. First, there's loyalty. Loyalty to God. He's the one who made us. He's the one who created us. He's the one who gave us the breath of life. He's the one who has promised to come alongside of us and to walk with us daily. So we must be loyalty. We must be allegiant. We must be faithful. We must be committed to Him. And then there's loyalty. Loyalty to His body. His body is this. The Church of Jesus Christ. The Church of Jesus Christ. We as believers must be loyal to that body. And then there's loyalty to ourselves. Loyalty to the commitment that we have made. Loyalty to the fact that we are created in God's own image and likeness. We must be committed to ourselves. Have you ever had a time in your life when you didn't believe in yourself? Have you ever had a time in your life where maybe you have thought, I'm not really as good as I think I am? Have you ever began to question in yourself, maybe I'm not what I think I am? As Christians, we must be loyal to ourselves. The scripture tells us of accounts in the Old Testament that were given to us for examples. Something that we could learn from. It's always better if we learn from the example of others. It's always better if we learn from someone else's mistakes. It makes it easier on us. We have a grandson who is 23 years old. And a couple of years ago, when he was living here in the area, I was visiting with him at least once a week. And we were talking about establishing values and priorities and objectives in our lives. And we began to talk about learning from other people's mistakes. And I could tell as I was talking to him, he was beginning to get a little agitated and beginning to get a little bit upset. I could almost picture what was going through his mind. It was like, here we go. They're telling me to do it this way. They're telling me to do it that way. And he made the statement, why won't anybody let me make my own mistakes so I can learn from them? Who wants to make a mistake so you can learn from it if you can learn from somebody else's mistake? Something that somebody else did wrong. Why go through the hassle yourself? Why go through the problems yourself when you can see? Now, let's look. It didn't work for this one. It didn't work for that one. It didn't work for them. It didn't work for them. It didn't work for them. Nope, they didn't have any success there. It didn't work there. Oh, they really blew it there. Why do we do that? The children of Israel, the things that they went through, the Word of God tells us it's all recorded for our example so that we can learn from it. In three short chapters in the book of Exodus, when Israel left Egypt, everything was going good until they got to the Red Sea. And they looked, and here's the Red Sea in front of them. And they looked behind them, and they could see the cloud of dust coming from the chariots of the Egyptians. And what do you think the children of Israel did? They grumbled. They grumbled and they complained. Here we are. You brought us out here. Weren't there any graves in Egypt? You brought us out here to die. They grumbled and they complained, but God was faithful. He was faithful and he parted the water. Check it out in Exodus 14. As they journeyed, they got through the Red Sea. They went through on dry ground, and as they continued their journey, they got thirsty. And they arrived at a place called Marah to find there that the waters were bitter. The waters were undrinkable. What do you think they did? Woo-hoo! We got stinky water. Oh, we got water that don't taste good. But that's okay. That's all right. Everything's fine. No, they grumbled again. They complained again. They murmured again. They brought accusations against Moses. They brought accusations against God. But God was faithful. And he made the waters sweet. Check it out. Exodus chapter 15. Well, only two chapters, and they've already grumbled twice. They've already complained twice. After the waters were made sweet, God had provided manna for the children. He gave them instructions of how to gather it and how to do what they needed to do with it for saving and using it and collecting the double portion on the one day so that they had for the next. But they got tired of manna. Have you ever got tired of the food that you've had to eat? Have you ever thought, Lord, I just want something good. I want something good to eat. Back when we were kids, the good-to-eat stuff didn't come around all that often. You know, it just wasn't there. We had things like Spam. Anybody here like Spam? Oh, what's the matter? Oh. Yeah. We had things like Spam and chicken pot pies. Oh. They're terrible. Especially the banquet kind. Oh. Man, girl, we gotta have a talk. Yeah. My mom could put banquet pot pies in the oven, and I would immediately start to get sick. Oh. The good stuff only came out once in a while, like the hamburgers and the hot dogs. Yeah. Oh, Israel grumbled. I've grumbled. I have to confess, I've grumbled and complain. But now that I have matured, now that I am a few years older than I was then, I just say, there ain't going to be none of that in our house. We ain't going to have none of that stuff. You're not going to get Spam. You're not going to get chicken pot pies unless you want to eat them yourself. I will go to McDonald's. I will go to Burger King. I will go someplace else. But there's not going to be no Spam on my table. Well, the children of Israel, they began to grumble. They began to complain. They began to just rail out against Moses and against the Lord. They wanted meat. They wanted something they could sink their teeth into. They wanted food, something good to eat. Guess what? They grumbled. God provided. God gave them quail. He gave them so much quail, they didn't know what to do with all the quail that he gave them. But God is faithful. He provided what they had need of. So often in history, people have rebelled and complained against God. The word tells us how they turned to idols, how they turned to witchcraft and witches and pagan gods. But God has continually reached out his arm to his crowning creation. Folks, that's you and I. That's mankind. God has continually reached out his arm to us. His faithfulness is shown through his word. 2 Peter chapter number 3 and verse number 9. If you do not have that verse marked in your Bible, get with it. If you don't have that verse marked so it stands out when you open it up, get it marked. The Lord is not slack in his concerning his promise, as some men count slackness. That means God's not late. God's not unfaithful. God is true to his promise, and he's not slow to answer those promises. but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. What a mighty God. What a mighty God we serve. That even with our grumbling, even with our complaining, even with our not being satisfied with the things that we have, our God is a faithful God, faithful to His promises. The past shows us. The present declares it. God is faithful. Since He's proven His faithfulness, we in turn need to exhibit our loyalty, our faithfulness, our allegiance, our commitment to God. Because God is faithful, we need to be faithful and loyal to our God. The psalmist David, in penning this portion of Scripture, wrote, "I will look with favor on the faithful or loyal in the land." We can take this passage and apply it not only to the universal church, that's all the churches that believe that Jesus Christ was born of a virgin, that He was the Son of God, that He was crucified and buried and rose again, and that He's coming back again for us. That's the universal church. We need to look with favor, or David said he'll look with favor, and we can apply that by being faithful not only to the universal church, but also to the local church. And the local church must have a balance. We've got to have a balanced perspective. We cannot just look at ourselves, you know, us four and no more. We are happy. Everything is good. It cannot be that way. We've got to have a balanced perspective. If evangelism is neglected, how could the church ever grow? If we leave off what we've been studying in Acts thus far, on Sunday mornings and in our Wednesday night salt groups, if we leave off that reaching out boldly for Jesus Christ, the church will diminish, it will decline, it will disappear as we know it. We must focus on evangelism. And if the church neglects a drive for missions, how would the unreached of this world ever hear the good news of Jesus Christ? How would effective leaders in foreign lands and cultures be brought up and sent out? If we neglect evangelism, we begin to die off here at home. If we neglect missions, the church begins to die off around the world. We've got to have a balance. We, as the local body of Christ, we need to look inward as well. The body needs nourishment. You and I need nourishment. The church on the corner, they need nourishment. The other churches in town, they need nourishment. It needs shelter and it needs protection. The local church must provide these things for its members. When God spoke to Ezekiel to prophesy to the dry bones in the valley, They came together. Just picture that in your mind for a moment. Close your eyes and begin to picture. Here's Ezekiel, and he's speaking to those dry bones in the valley, and they begin to come together. Can you hear the clicking and the clacking of the bones as they're drawing together, as they're becoming knit together into a body? They came together, muscles and tendons attached to them to eat. They attached them to each other. Skin covered them over. And then the breath of God came into them. They became a vast army for the Lord. Notice, though, they formed separate bodies, yet one army. The local church, we are a separate body. You as individuals are a separate body. But when we come together as individuals, we make up one larger body. When we come together as other bodies, we form a mighty army for God, the universal church. We as Christians come together to make up separate bodies or local churches, and we're held together by bonds of love, not to be easily broken or severed, but to be loyal or faithful. We must be loyal and we must be faithful to our own local church. When I was a child, a few years ago, at about the age of 6 or 7, we had a neighbor, and this neighbor had something unique, something I had heard about, something I had heard others talking about. How many of you remember as children your parents talking about things, but you really did not understand them? You really didn't grasp the concept of what they were talking about. Our neighbor, Mr. Ellis, had a leg amputated, and he had an artificial leg. Picture, as a 6 or 7 year old kid, you know, this is 62 years ago. You didn't hear that much about them. You didn't see them. You didn't see the Special Olympics where so many with artificial limbs. You didn't see about the soldiers coming home from war who had been fitted with prosthetics. So it was a concept that wasn't really clear in my 7-year-old mind. Well, Mr. Ellis had a son who was about my age. And we began talking one day. Now, he knew all about it because he was Mr. Ellis's son, but not me. I didn't know all about it. So I began asking him. I said, what is this thing? What is this thing called an artificial leg? How does that work? How can it be? How can something artificial make him walk and look normal? One Saturday morning, while we were up playing in the backyard, how many know that kids don't like to get up Monday through Friday in time for school? But on Saturday morning, the crack of dawn, they're awake, and woohoo, we're going to play. We've got all kinds of things we can do today. Well, one Saturday morning, he came over and he knocked on my door. I was up, of course. Cartoons were on. I was up and I went to the door and he says, come here. I want to show you something. I want you to see something. And I thought, wow, he must have got a new toy. He must have got something, you know, something that was really exciting him and he wanted to excite me. So he says, come with me. So we went. And we went in the house, and all the houses in this community that we lived in, it's kind of like suburbia gyms, you know, all the houses were the same, all had the same floor plan. You walk in the back door, there's the dining area, and then off to your left is a hallway. And you go down the hallway, there's two bedrooms on one side, there's a bathroom and a bedroom on the other side. So we walked in and walked down the hallway. And very, very quietly, he reached over and he took the doorknob and he turned that doorknob and he opened the door and lo and behold, there it was! It was just standing there. There was a leg that was standing there. It had a shoe on it. It had socks on it. But it couldn't do anything. It was just standing there by the bed. His mom and dad were still asleep, so I couldn't yell out with surprise. It was just like, oh. There was this artificial leg by itself. It couldn't bend. By itself, it couldn't sit. By itself, it couldn't walk. It needed the rest of the body to be able to function. That picture is still in my mind. Sometimes I laugh about it, thinking, you know, what would his parents have thought if they'd have woke up and saw us there in their bedroom while they're sound asleep, looking at that leg just standing there. That picture's still in my mind. A leg ready to carry out its functions. A leg ready, but no body for it to work with. Many in churches today, they'll switch from body to body, but they soon find out they don't fit. It would be like taking someone else's artificial leg and trying to wear it. It would be like taking someone else's artificial arm and trying to function with it. It won't work. They are made specifically for the individual who is going to be wearing them. They're not interchangeable, and neither are Christians. Neither are Christians. I believe that every individual that gathers together to worship here at FBC is designed uniquely to function within this body, to work within this body. Without this body, it's like putting on somebody else's artificial limb. We have to be loyal. We have to be faithful. We have to be committed to the body where Christ has placed us. That is loyalty to his body. That's loyalty to God. There's two relevant questions for us today. The first one is, who are you? And the second, much like it, who am I? Who am I? If we face the reality of them, if we come face to face with them, we'll find that certain things will be required of us, and one of those things is being loyal or being faithful to ourselves. You and I, each one of us, there's not an exemption to be had. No one in this room can say, that don't apply to me. That's not where I'm at. Every one of us are created in the image and the likeness of God. Don't let society dictate to you how you are to look and how you are to live. God made no junk. When you were created, He said, it's good. It's good. You're good. God was pleased with His crowning creation. Let God's word work in you. His word declares, you're okay. You're all right. You don't have to look like somebody else. You don't have to wear what somebody else wears. You don't have to style your hair the way somebody else does, unless it's me and Dean, and we just have to style our hair the same way. You know, it doesn't make any difference. You cannot be dictated to by the world, but so many in the world, so many in the church are dictated to by the things the world says. You're not a loser. You're not defeated. You are the child of a king. You are the child of the king. Mike Tyson. Many of you have ever heard of Mike Tyson? You know, the ear biter? Mike Tyson was preparing to fight with Evander Holyfield for the world championship. Now, he kept on telling him, that's Tyson kept on telling Evander Holyfield, you're going to lose. You're going down. You're going to be defeated. You are going to lose. But Evander Holyfield held to the word of God in Philippians 4:13, which declares, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. You know who won? Evander Holyfield. It wasn't the one from the world dictating and calling him a loser, but it was the one who put his trust in the Word of God that made him a winner. The story has been told of a boxer, a fighter who went by the name of Conqueror. You know, all of these wrestlers and all of these fighters and stuff, they have all these special names, and the Conqueror used to come out before every fight, and he would go around the room, around the ring, and he'd say, Conqueror, Conqueror, you know, he was the winner. He, you know, he was this and that. He was really proud of himself for who he was. But after the fight was over, his wife would always go to the promoter's desk and pick up his check. How many of you guys, if you were the Conqueror, would send your wife to pick up the check? Wouldn't you like to go and say, Conqueror, and grab the check yourself? Now, folks, guys have egos. There's not a guy in here that doesn't have an ego. And so many times us guys, we don't like to share our ego with somebody else. It's ours. We claim it and we hold to it. And now his wife, after every single fight, goes to the promoter and he picks up, or she picks up his check. Well, this newscaster, the sportscaster, had been watching this go on throughout, you know, months and months and months of fighting. And why, you know, he wondered. So he went to her and he asked her, why is it that after every single fight, you go and you pick up the Conqueror's check? To that she replied, I am more than a conqueror. Be loyal to yourself. As a child of the Most High God, live like it. Oh, so many Christians walk around in the mully grubs and down in the dumps, and oh, life is so hard. Life is so tough. Woe is me. Does the Word say that about you? Does the Word say that, oh, you're in for a terrible time? Oh, things are just rotten for you because you're a Christian. The Word says you are more than a conqueror. The Word says Jesus overcame the world and we can overcome the world. We've got to stand and gain our self-image from the Word of God, not from the world. We're not of this world, folks. We're just passing through. We're just on a camping trip. It may last several years, but one of these days, it'll come to an end. And we can throw the tents away and live with the Lord forever. On our trip, we should leave our mark on society, not society leaving its mark on us. We can do that by being loyal to ourselves. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse number 1 tells us, be imitators of God as beloved children. Hebrews 12 and 1 says, present your bodies as living sacrifices, holy, acceptable, pleasing unto the Lord. Philippians 4 and 5 says, let your moderation be known. Let your moderation be known. Don't stain what is good by God's design with the things of this world. Be loyal yourself. God has a plan for you. God has a plan for you. And Jeremiah 29:11 declares that plan. A plan for good and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope. Where do your loyalties lie? Do they lie with God? God's faithful. God is faithful. You as a believer, be faithful to Him as well. With the local body, do your loyalties lie with the local body? Don't be a leg with no body, but fit in where you're at. Become involved where you're at. Take part in what's going on. You be that leg that can come alongside of the body and adapt into them and work with them and move with them and grow with them. The only way to function is by getting involved. Not sitting on the sidelines, not being in the fringes, but being involved. Do your loyalties lie with yourself? If they do, realize who you are and who made you. See yourself as God sees you. These folks are the loyalties of a Christian. These are the things we need to focus on and work on to bring glory to our Heavenly Father, to promote His kingdom, and to see His kingdom grow. Let's pray. Father, we thank You. We thank You for who You are and for all that You do for each one of us. And Lord, we ask that You would take us and help us to become loyal participants in Your kingdom. being loyal to you, being loyal to the local body, and being loyal to ourselves. And Lord, we'll give you glory and honor and praise. In Jesus' name, amen.